Welcome to the Resources for Integrated Care webinar series on member engagement. This podcast is excerpted from a webinar presented live in the summer of 2015 called Hard to Reach Populations, Innovative Strategies to Engage Isolated Individuals with Behavioral Health Needs. This webinar series is presented by the Lewin Group in collaboration with Community Catalyst and is supported through the Medicare-Medicaid Coordination Office in the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. MMCO is dedicated to ensuring beneficiaries enrolled in Medicare and Medicaid have access to seamless, high-quality health care that includes the full range of covered services in both programs. To support providers in their efforts to deliver more integrated, coordinated care to Medicare-Medicaid enrollees, MMCO is developing technical assistance and actionable tools based on successful innovations and care models. To learn more about current efforts, please visit resourcesforintegratedcare.com. In this podcast, Julie Bloom, the Clinical Operations Manager at Hennepin Health, shares strategies used by her organization to engage hard-to-reach populations through the creative use of data, stronger community partner relationships, and community outreach staff.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me. So I'm here to talk about Hennepin Health, which is a healthcare demonstration project taking place within our county of Hennepin County, which is the largest county in Minnesota and encompasses Minneapolis. Next slide, please. So Hennepin Health is a partnership between four county-owned organizations, our county-owned medical center, which is a safety net hospital, county-owned FQHC clinic, located in an underserved area of Minneapolis called North Point, our human services public health department from Hennepin County, which includes public health clinics as well as case management and eligibility, and then a county-owned managed health plan called the MHP. We operate as a Medicaid expansion MCO option, and we operate upon prospective enrollment via managed care choice, and we're also the default option in Hennepin County for individuals in Medicaid expansion. We have a capitated reimbursement from our state Medicaid agency. So we're really looking at having or defined by having a very defined and small provider network that is united by a shared electronic health record. So we have been able to get our human services population or employees on the shared health record with the hospital and the clinic, which has been really important, as well as the managed care organization. Our risk-sharing funding model allows us to align our resources towards avoidable utilization. Essentially, we realized at one point that our human services and hospital were really unable to work in alignment towards the same goals of reducing avoidable utilization since so much of the hospital is dependent upon those resources. We've really based the model on integrating medical and social services and really focusing on addressing social determinants of health. And we're operating on a consensus-based governance structure between all four partners. Next slide, please. So we're looking at current enrollment around 11,000 members, and we're serving the Medicaid expansion county population in Hennepin County, so 21 to 64-year-old adults without dependent children who are non-disabled at or below the federal poverty level. Our population characteristics are mainly male and racial and ethnic minorities, and we see a lot of common overlapping issues such as mental health conditions, chemical dependency, lots of homelessness and unstable housing, chronic physical conditions, and a general lack of social support, and resulting in a lot of use of the emergency department to access care. Our premise at Hennepin Health is really that we need to be able to meet these individuals' basic needs before we can meaningfully impact health, and this has really helped us to focus on this population in a way that we haven't necessarily been able to focus on before. Next slide, please. So Hennepin Health is really based on a care model with care coordination. So essentially, we've chosen to do an embedded in the clinic model. So our care coordination teams are in the primary care medical homes. And we really have chosen to rely upon a strong community health worker role, both inside and outside of the clinic. Hennepin County Medical Center has also pioneered what we refer to as an ambulatory ICU. So it's a completely team-based care clinic for our highest utilizing members and highest utilizing residents of Hennepin County in general, so not just those that are in Hennepin Health. We've really been working on supplementing the clinic care coordination teams with targeted behavioral health and social service interventions. We also supplement the teams with clinical coordinators who are RNs and social workers, and we've really found that to be a really nice complement of skill sets to work together as a team to meet our members' many needs. Again, all of these providers are documenting in a shared electronic health record. So essentially when Hennepin Health was formed, we thought if we build this really great clinical care coordination model within the clinics, our members will come and be excited to be in these clinics and stay. But we quickly found that wasn't the case, that a lot of the members, particularly due to unstable housing and the fact that we're the default enrollment plan, are unstably housed and live very transient lifestyles. And so we're really getting poor demographic information and having a really hard time connecting those individuals to care. Additionally, we found the need to start to prioritize and help our staff in the clinics prioritize their interventions, because very quickly we realized that by putting really great care coordination teams within the clinics that they were highly valued by the physicians, and they quickly became quite overwhelmed. Next slide, please. So to respond to some of this being overwhelmed in the clinic and need to prioritize our care coordination, we developed what we call a prospective or predictive risk tiering model using CMS's hierarchical condition categories, or HCC risk scores. Essentially, we were able to use these HCC risk scores to create tiering based upon risk for future healthcare costs. We decided to break it into four different tiers. We have an extreme, a high, a rising risk, and a general priority category. And essentially, we have chosen to target and prioritize the two highest tiers with the care coordination staff that are located in the clinics. One criticism of this model that we are continuing to work on or hone is because our model is really based on this idea of social determinants of health being such an integral part of what we're doing, we are continuing to work on the development of an unstable housing indicator that will be incorporated into this hierarchical risk score and tiering, so we can really ensure that we're prioritizing people with unstable housing as well. Next slide, please. So to my earlier comment that we thought if we build it, will they come, we found out quickly that wasn't necessarily the case. And so we had to put our innovation hats on and take on some community health workers that we could put into outreach locations. So we decided to have the community health workers employed by the providers. So we're really looking at a model in which the community health workers aren't representing the health plan, but instead are really representing the healthcare delivery sites in which they are employed. And we found this to be really important because they were really representing those clinics to the members, and thereby representing Hennepin Health, but at the same time kind of running out, I guess, a warm red carpet to those members that we were finding in other outreach locations back into those facilities rather than seeing it as health plan facing. So essentially we knew that we would have to build some relationships with community organizations and providers in which we felt that or knew or suspected that many of our members where they were. And so we're looking the locations that we were able to work out a relationship with and locate community health workers are listed here. So we have an adult correctional facility through Hennepin County where we found a lot of our members were spending time, and when they were in the correctional facility, they were no longer enrolled in the health plan, and so we really lost sight of them. So the care coordination teams in the clinics were saying, you know, I've got this case, I'm working really hard on it, and all of a sudden they just disappear and I'm not sure where they are. Fortunately, the correctional setting is also on the Epic health record, and so we've been able to do some work to bridge that. But the community health worker is working, spending some of her time in the correctional facility, as well as these other locations. So a local homeless shelter, our emergency department at our hospital, where we're really focusing on diverting dental needs, and then also in our health plan lobby, which has an interesting phenomena of having a lot of members come and hang out in the lobby. And so we thought that that might be a really great place to start. As far as how did we go about building the relationship, particularly with the shelter and the correctional facility, we really had to look at it as, you know, what's in it for them. And what we found is that a lot of these organizations are really looking to increase their capacity for health and wellness education, and that this is something that community health workers were able to provide, and it was a nice vehicle for them to interact with the members or the people who were, once they were discharged from the correctional facility, would probably be coming back on the Hennepin Health Plan. Additionally, we found that there's a lot of motivation from these community partners to be able to attend to the whole person, and a lot of times they are, you know, focused on their small part of the individual, but we're realizing more and more that that we need to treat the whole person, and sometimes that means for them treating diabetes or heart disease when that's really not what they're experts in. And so we found that by sending someone who represents a clinic that there was a lot of motivation in partnering with us. Next slide, please. So the next program I'm going to talk about is what we call our ED and REACH program. So essentially this is a program that we started to address what we knew was high utilization that was avoidable and preventable of the emergency department. And we knew that if we were going to accrue or try to accrue quick cost savings to support our model, that we were going to have to address overutilization of the ED. And so essentially we embedded one social worker in the emergency department, and then our hospital also has what's called, we call it APS, it's the acute psychiatric ED. And that social worker is really the person that's kind of stepping outside of the chaos of the emergency departments and the psychiatric ED and really seeking to find individuals who are enrolled in Hennepin Health and looking at why, kind of from a systems perspective of why are people, you know, showing up there for preventable things to help us really identify and target some of these problems and patterns. So we also have that social worker in the ED connect with a case manager that we have contracted through a local nonprofit. And that case manager is, we call him the ED and REACH case manager. And the goal is really to identify and target individuals in those settings where we think that case management services will help someone get back into a medical or behavioral health home. And so their goal is really reducing that utilization and finding preventative services to meet their needs. We had a lot of lessons learned from this pilot project. Initially, we thought, you know, there's all of these people in the ED, so if we just put a worker there to meet with them who is engaging, that they would, you know, not pass up the chance to work with her and get their needs met. But essentially, that wasn't the case, and it took us some time to really find the right worker, and we went through a couple of workers before we really found the right person to get this off the ground. So lessons learned is that that connecting with someone in the ED is not always the best opportunity. A lot of times we're looking at people who have altered mental status, are really just not in a place when they're admitted to the ED or when they're even waiting in the ED to talk to someone to engage with them. So one thing that we found is that by giving them cell phones while they were in the ED, that was one strategy that often took off pretty quickly. We weren't sure, but we programmed cell phones with the ED and REACH case manager, and then also our psychiatric and mental health crisis line, and a hospital contact, and asked them to follow up with the worker, and that's actually been quite successful. Additionally, we have had this ED InReach case manager working outside of the ED with, in Minneapolis, we've got a great nonprofit organization called St. Stephen's that does street outreach, and so they've really been able to connect this case manager to a lot of the people that we're targeting simply by going where they're at. And sometimes that's homeless camps or places where the homeless are. Other lessons learned is that it takes a very specific staff person in order to kind of infiltrate the emergency room culture and the hospital and really connect with the individuals we're trying to serve. What we found is that we really needed someone who could fit into the hospital culture. So someone had, you know, some experience or understanding of a healthcare environment. One of my favorite stories is that when we first brought this pilot on board, the worker was not as familiar with healthcare settings, and we couldn't figure out why the emergency room wasn't connecting with her and wasn't giving her referrals. And I kind of found out on word on the street kind of way that her first day she came to work, she was wearing open-toed shoes, and this kind of made her a pariah in the ED with the staff. And it was one of those just simple things that really put up some major barriers. So that was a really interesting lesson. So essentially someone who has some of that cultural knowledge of working in an ED environment. We also found that you need to have someone who's quite assertive, and so not afraid to talk to people, get to know them, who can engage with clients very well, but also being able to engage and build relationships with the staff in the hospital. It was really important that they became integrated. And so some of the other things is having to be just very reliable. We found that when they can document in the medical record the same way and with the same standards of documentation that the hospital is using, is that that really made their work quite apparent. And so when someone had made a referral to this program, you know, when they would see that documentation of work being completed in the record, that really built their confidence that this work was happening and that it was worthwhile and it was helping their patients. And so that was a really important lesson learned. And then with all of that, so being able to fit in with the culture, getting to know and build relationships, we found that it's really effective to have this worker attending the in-hospital huddles, some of the clinics. So as we're asking them to bring people into the medical home or preventative care setting, that this worker is someone who is working with those staff, and so attending their meetings and their case consultations has been really important. All right, next slide. So thank you so much for having me today.
For more information about this webinar series and other resources, including videos and podcasts, please visit resourcesforintegratedcare.com and follow us on Twitter at integrate_care.